I welcome everyone on BBS Radio, and we're just waiting to start our show in a few minutes, our Monday night show. Welcome, everyone. Well, actually, it's 5:55 right now, so we've got a few minutes. Yeah, someone else that just joined us, too. Did someone join us on the call? Do you want to say your name and city? Oh, that could be Wynn's number. Have you ever tried the pendants out, John?
Actually, I have two of them I use.
Oh, the flow and the energy one?
Yes, both. Yes.
Or flow and grounding, I think.
Yes, yes. Not the gold one, just the other two. Yes.
Mm.
I wonder how many listeners we have from the UK that actually listen to our show.
I don't know. Like, you know, if it's on internet radio, there could be a lot. We wouldn't know, really. Depends on the time. Is there 8 hours?
Their local time is like 1:57 a.m. or like almost 2 a.m. right now. So
yeah.
I wouldn't guess not many people, I would think.
Yeah, maybe on the Sunday call. But, yeah, it would be pretty hard.
Sunday is really, 10 a.m., that's 8 hours, ahead is 6 p.m.
Right.
UK time. So there's
right.
probably a lot of listeners there on Sunday, but I wouldn't think too many people will be listening to this too, between 2 and 3 a.m. in the morning. I don't think so.
No. The Monday night call? Do you want to say your name and city?
Good evening. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Hi. Good evening, Cleo.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Joni?
No. It's Colleen.
Oh, Colleen.
Hi. Welcome to the Monday night call.
Thank you.
Hi, Catherine from California.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. This is Colleen. Do you want to say your name and city?
No.
Oh.
Oh, that means it's Wynn. It's got to be Wynn, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Wynn who? Who?
Yeah, Wynn who?
Yeah, Wynn who?
I've got to watch it. John's going to want to tell a joke.
We haven't found out what your show is about tonight. All I see is this $23 pendant deal here.
I sent an email out, probably... It's just coming in. Is Terry here? No.
Haven't heard her yet.
And where is everybody tonight?
That's a good question.
We're all here.
Well, everyone is supposed to be here is here.
Welcome to the Monday call. This is Colleen. Do you want to say your name and city?
Hi, this is Lynn Stona.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Lena.
Hi.
Hi, Cleo.
Hey, Wynn, how are you?
I see you there.
Hi there.
Who is that?
To the Monday call. Do you want to say your name and city? Welcome to the Monday call.
Hi, Colleen. This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you.
Is that Dave who came in and didn't say anything?
Doesn't say. Hi, welcome to the Monday call. This is Colleen. Do you want to say, hi, Don?
Hi, Colleen. This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome. Good evening. Welcome to the Monday night call.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Chris, I think you're going to get married soon.
Thank you.
Why do you say that?
Hi. Feast of the sea,
sea
serpent checking in.
Christmas.
Monday night call. Someone was cutting out, I think.
I said, this is Cecil, the sea serpent from Seattle, checking in.
Hi, good evening.
You know, so I think you should identify yourself as Cecil, the sea well sea serpent.
Yeah,
well, it's not quite that deep here yet.
Well, you got to rearrange the projections, you know.
It's okay. I don't want a well. I just, a little gentle rain is fine.
Okay. Let me see where Terry is. I'll be back. We'll start
okay.
2 minutes.
I think MacArthur said that too, didn't he?
I think anybody knows.
Schwarzenegger definitely said it.
Who was it?
Schwarzenegger. Terminator.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got that from MacArthur. That's right.
I think so.
He made a lot more money off it than MacArthur did.
Welcome to the Monday Night Call.
Rick and Iowa City.
Hi, good evening, Rick.
Hi.
We haven't started yet. We'll just be another minute or so, I believe.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Night Call.
Hi, this is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Hi.
Hi
welcome.
There. Hey, thanks.
Welcome to
Hello,
Monday Night
Hello, this is Terry
Call.
From Dallas.
Hi, good evening.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we're just waiting to start. Wynn is coming right back in a moment or so.
I'm just waiting for Terry. She is. somebody called her to place an order.
Oh, good.
You know how women are?
No,
how are we?
No, tell us about that,
Wynn. I'm not giving out any secrets.
You're in trouble now, Wynn.
I'm not. I want you to know.
It's a loaded question.
Off your back, start foot.
I want you guys to know that I am not Donald Trump. Okay. Except
we're glad of that.
Under the law of one, I am Donald Trump. See the dilemma? I actually understand.
you know, that aspect of it, you know?
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday Night Call, and I'm going to mute everyone, or not mute everyone. I'm just going to mute the dings whenever you want to start the recording when.
Well, don't start the recording until Terry's here, okay?
I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, you're here.
Yeah.
Well, how am I supposed to know that here? Do you think I'm psychic?
Psychic.
Ben said he had you chained in the kitchen making him dinner. He was talking about you like that.
Uh-oh.
So I was telling everybody, it's hard to get you to channel when people are giving you money.
Right. Yeah. Well,
first things first.
Hopefully, she'll come on our call.
Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Patricia.
Patricia, are you here yet? She should be here, Terry. What's going on?
Well, probably didn't have the number.
She has free will.
Free will realm.
The free will.
God. You can't even convince somebody to come to our call, huh?
I convinced them to come. That's just probably they didn't know how.
And they heard your remark about women.
Yeah.
Is anybody new on the call tonight for the first time? No. Okay. Are you sure? You're not just shy?
Good thing.
We make fun of all the shy people that come in.
Uh-oh.
You know, it's amazing what you can say when you're looking down on it, okay? Sometimes I stick my foot in my mouth, okay? Donald Trump sticks his foot in his mouth quite often. Foot and mouth disease.
Whole leg.
But it's better to stick your foot in your mouth than to be a total liar. That's what I always say.
Right.
So, in any case, all right. What is the lady's name, Terry?
Her name is
Patricia.
Patricia.
Patricia. Patricia, are you here yet?
Maybe she doesn't know the number. Today is Monday, right? So.
Yes. Monday's
okay.
Number.
You think I can remember things like that? You know,
well, I could email her.
One of the things about let's see here. One of the things about being in the here and now.
Are you in here now?
Yeah, I'm in here.
You with us?
I'm actually...
Are you here?
Yeah, actually, somebody just sent me an email, and I had to answer it right there, okay? They were saying when Jesus referred... This is the person who's on our list, okay? Mark, are you on the line? Mark Esquera. No. But he's on our list, or he's just starting to come to our call. Somebody told him about our planetary healing call. Are we recording it?
Yes.
No, you haven't started the recorder yet.
John, thank you for your help.
50-50.
Actually, BBS is recording us. She didn't. I don't know if we're recording. We started our recording yet.
I didn't say it's BBS. I said, are we recording? That's all right. That's all right.
Not yet.
You know, when you start to get in the here and now, when more of you start to become present, for a lot of people, including Terry and me, we become forgetful. Okay? I mean, forgetful. Like, for the life of me, the kids, 10 minutes for
cutting out. I can't hear. Can't hear you.
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up.
Yeah.
Hang on. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Is that better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The best part of breaking up is when you're making up. And you see, the good news of being in the here and now is that you can access a whole bunch of stuff. So when she said I was breaking up, my mind was, I didn't try to do this. It just goes through stuff, and it's the best part of breaking up is when you're making up. All right? Well, I can't for the life of me cook something and leave the room.
What's that burning?
What's that burning?
I'm making dinner.
did we start recording yet?
No. Do you want me to start the recording right now? I will. And then
yeah.
I'll mute everyone.
This conference is being recorded.
So this is...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
November 28th, 2016, went into Terry in Arizona. And we were talking about, just before we started recording, about how as you start to become more present, this may not be true for everyone, but it's certainly true for Terry and me and other people that I know that are starting to become more present. And when you become more present, there's a lot of positive things that go on because of that. Because when you engage with other people, they become more present. That's why when I talk and when Terry talks and when we channel, you all feel more present inside of yourself. And I was saying, when I become more present, Terry and I are both really, my problem is when I go in the kitchen and make food, and then I don't want to wait 10 minutes, so I walk out of the room for 10 minutes, and about 20 to 30 minutes I come back and said, oh, Terry is yelling, what's that burning, okay? Terry is so forgetful that she forgets to eat. So, wait a second. We should have everybody.
I get so interested.
All callers are unmuted.
Go ahead.
I get so interested in everything that I'm doing that I don't want to eat. I just, it's just going on to see what happens next or do the next thing.
So I have
you
to
start
have
drinking
Terry.
Drink raw vegetable juice. You wouldn't have to cook anymore.
Yeah,
I think
I should start buying that.
But then you have to clean the juicer. That's a pain in the neck.
No, what if I buy one of those things a day? That's fresh made. That'd be good.
Smoothies?
Okay.
Smoothies or fresh made cheer juice or something.
Yeah. I mean, I get mad at Terry because what happens is we finally have a new system where if I'm not in the house checking on her, she has to email me to tell me that she ate, or else I'm going to yell at her. So that's working better, okay? So it's just you have to work around it. You know, I create lots of little, I get myself conscious working like a computer. So it tells me to do something at a certain time, or I put something in my cell phone so it goes beep, 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 that I'm supposed to do something. And I started putting in an alarm so we don't forget our calls. And I want to tell you that I am so pleased with the energy we're creating on our whole planet healing call. And, you know, something like that starts out like an idea. And when I think about it, I say, do I really want to do something every day? Do I want to show up every day? And so I said, okay, let's try it. And I always, and I'm sharing this because some of you have these choices and you get an idea and you don't try it. So I try it and I say, all right, if it doesn't work, I'm not going to do it. I don't have to continue. All right? Some things work and some things don't. And so I guess better and better and better. And probably we have a group of people that are, looks like we almost have the same number of people tonight as we do on our whole planet healing call. Maybe the same. Vacillates. I don't know how many people are on the internet, but if you're on the internet and you're listening on the internet, I hope you'll come into that call, wholeplanethealing.com, because it's not a chore. At least I don't find it to be a chore. It's actually a joy. It's like a wonderful energy. I share the energy just as much as all of you, and I think Terry does as well. And it's just the coming together. And we come together on this call, and we have the energy. But, you know, I'm building my confidence that the energy is there, that I can hold it, that I won't feel trapped. Like, I don't really want to do this. What am I doing this for? And I get that way. I mean, I'm very independent. And if I make a commitment and it doesn't hold energy, then I don't want to do it, okay? I'm not doing it. I never know in advance if it'll work or if it won't work until I start doing it. But, you know, enough things that we are doing are working that it just becomes such a joy to be creating this kind of affiliation with a group of people with such a high intent and having such a clear path to create this beautiful, ongoing rapport. You know, I keep reading stuff from this little Edgar Cayce book, and it's one of the most obscure books out there. And I read something the other day, and I said, God, I hope I can find it. I just opened it. I opened to exactly, I think that this is the right page, okay? Something about that he said in his channeling that is very analogous to what we're doing. And here, I'll just read it. In such experience of the individuals gathered here, they, the individuals, have contacted various other individuals in experiences in life. Some for weeks has been designated to each in those experiences where either development or retardment has been the portion of that individual experience. As these individuals then have contacted others, they have that karma that experience to be worked out together for some definite purpose other than that of self-indulgence, self-gratification, or self-exaltation. These conditions arise, some apparently pass and are forgotten. If these conditions ever arise, that truth comes again and has its reaction in the minds and souls of those who have once been associated with the same. Some for weal, some for woe, for it is better never to have been associated with things and then and turn back than to have known the work at all. For as has been given, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is worse than the infidel. Now, you know, that's written in Edgar Casey's somewhat convoluted English, okay? So, you know, just to just make it simple, there's more, actually. But here's what the author wrote. I don't always agree with the author's comments. Let's see what he says. Note the emphasis placed upon service in the group relationship. Not only must individuals choose between self and service, but groups also must choose. With groups, as with individuals, redemption depends upon choosing service, service to others. The outsiders, not merely to one another, or to the in-group. Okay, I agree with that. And so, he's talking about group. Coming together helps us all to work ourselves out. Helps us all to improve in many, many different ways. Helps us all to connect with the surface aspect of this coming together. And, you know, I know people have needs, and it's not wrong to have needs, and it's like if one can tap into the energy in the right way, then oftentimes things come to you to fulfill the needs you have, whether it's financial or emotional or whatever. And that part of my job is to hold the vision of everybody being perfect, and then you become perfect, at least on the calls, and I become perfect, or, you know, there's really no such thing as perfection in the physical, and we take what Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So, in the physical realm, it's not going to be perfect, but we can have moments of perfection. We can have moments of perfect connection. And I think we are accomplishing that. And, you know, I think the most profound statement in the whole thing that Edgar Casey says is that he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is worse than the infidel. What does he mean by that? It means you're putting your hand on the plow and you're moving forward. And if you let yourself do that, grab hold and don't look back, because it's like being tempted or like going back into old pattern. One pattern I think almost everybody has is this idea of going into relationships when you feel desperation, and then you go into relationships that are end up being all screwed up, and they kind of lock you into the desperation because the initial motivation to go in the relationship was desperation. It wasn't love. It was, what if nobody loves me? What if I die and I'm not married? People aren't going to like me because I'm not married. Single people are weird. You know, all the myriad reasons. I'm insecure. What if I don't have any money? Who's going to take care of me? What if I get sick? Who's going to take care of me? And so those are all lower levels of reason go into a relationship with another person. And you have to hold your, what do you call it? Your
integrity?
So that you don't compromise. That's, if you're on a spiritual path, and then you go into a relationship for one of those reasons, like, I just don't want to be lonely, and at least somebody likes me, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying never to do it. You're a free will choice. But my experience, and I've done that, my experience is that it ends up terrible, okay? I get locked into whatever the reason I went into the relationship kind of locks me and sends me backwards. And it's like, you guys are all holding on to the plow. And don't look back. Let it pull you forward so that you can get the most out of this ride. And then, let's see, the next thing in this book here, there are certain forces in each individual which respond to the creative forces in the material world, whether in regard to material things of healing and what is not. The concerted effort on the part of the group actually accentuates the force or power that may manifest in or through any individual. Now, that is exactly what I experienced on our call, that calls are accentuating the force of all of us. Through the group, we become more of who we really are. And then some are given to be teachers, some are given to be healers, some are given to be interpreters. Let each then do his job and his part well in the manner given to him, knowing that through the forces manifesting through him, each one then becomes the light in his own respective action and field of endeavor. As the forces manifest in their various ways and manners, to some will be given gifts of prophecy, some gifts of teaching, some gifts of ministration, and to others, those of ministers. To some, there has been given the ability to serve as prophets, some as teachers, some as ministers, some in one manner, some in another, which are spiritual gifts from the same source. When applied to that in that manner, that brings service to the fellow man. In the association, then, as individuals, each then may serve in that way and manner as it's suited to their station, their position, and gifts of the Creator. Through the way and manner each have applied same in the flesh. As a group gathers to make for cooperative measures in a material plane, so may the soul of that then be divided or united in him, depend upon the spirit that gives the motivative forces to the activities of such a group. For that, as may be sounded here, through the activities of these gathered here, as of old were heard around the world, so may the activities of this group, and they're talking about the groups formed around Edgar Cayce. There was something called the Search for God group. And so the activities of these gathered here, as of old, were heard around the world. So may the activities of this group again go through the ages, yet unborn, regenerating them to that awakening that makes for the souls of men safe in the knowledge of Him. Him meaning God. So, does that make sense? Do you understand that one?
Mm-hmm.
No. No one understood it, right?
I need to hear it again.
Pardon me? Say it again?
Yeah.
Say what? Let me just interpret it, okay? As I interpret it, okay? talking about groups that are make for cooperative measures in a material plane. Groups coming together to do something in the material plane. So may the soul of that be divided or united. In other words, groups coming together can end up in a bunch of divided souls or united souls, okay? Dependent upon the spirit that gives the motivative force to the activities of such a group. So in other words, it depends on why the group is coming together, what's motivating it, okay?
Yeah.
And let's see, many, they refer to the groups that form around Edgar Cayce, the Search for God group. And this was obviously a counsel to that group. And so may the activities of this group again go through the ages yet unborn. What does that say? That's pretty strong. It says they're referring to the Search for God group, that that the activities, because they're highly motivated, can go through the ages yet unborn, which is true. Look what happened to Edgar Cayce's work, okay? And probably will still have research. So may the activities of this group again go through the ages yet unborn, regenerating them, that awakening that makes for the souls of men safe in the knowledge of him or God, okay? So when a group has a high enough motivational force and souls come together that are united in him or spirit, then it creates potentially something that goes far beyond the physical manifestation of that group. It creates something that goes through the ages, unborn ages, people yet to come, regenerating them to the awakening that makes for the souls of men safe in the knowledge of God. Does that make sense now?
That's encouraging.
Yeah. So I think it applies to what we're doing. I think so, okay? In any group, serious division arises if the innate and the karmic influences are not in harmony, if the group spirit and the group personality are not constructively reconciled. In the groups such as the Search for God and the prayer group, for which Edgar Cayce gave many readings, prior life associations, and common purposes were found to have existed among the members. In a group of large size, such as a nation, or an army, or even a hospital staff, or college faculty, there is, of course, an institutional and legal base for association. The Cayce reading said, within the institutional group, we should expect to find karmic patterns of prior life associations, some of them cross-cutting and perhaps divisive. We should also expect to find some degree of community of interest based on the communion of the spirit mentioned earlier. If these things were known and understood, the communion of the spirit could be amplified to override and heal the cross-cutting conditions or commitments. Cayce's suggestions for healing divisions are given here. As the faith grows, so must the changes be made as necessary to meet the conditions as they arise time to time. Press and impress each more and more that the trust must be in him, not in the group. The group is only lending their power, their ability, to make aware the needs of such individuals, those seeking that power. Let thine purpose be in expressing and manifesting his power. All praise give unto him, not in what I did, we did, or the other. The praise, the power is in him. And That's all I'm going to read from this. So we're going to bring in our sources. And could you see how that relates to our group? Did that seem to fit? Yeah. So that's from the Ra group, talking through Edgar Cayce. And we're going to have an interesting session. And Terry, you're not ready, right? Yeah, no.
I'm really not ready.
Okay. There we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Now, how come you're really not ready? That's even because of what I read?
Yeah, I wasn't totally tracking it. So if you're going to ask questions about it, go back to the first grade.
Okay. We'll do it. All right?
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to make contact with each and every person who wishes contact made. And we are here to answer any questions that we can. Do you have questions?
Well, I just read a bunch of Edgar Cayce quotes about group energy and how that works. And thought I would just first off turn it over to you to give us a carte blanche about anything you would like to share in the way that our group is forming itself and any other respects, anything else with respect to this group that's forming around this work. And the group is listening right now. So we want to know how we're doing and how we can do better.
Thank you. When we look at energy formation, we see that energy has a cohesive quality, so that when people agree and they have their energy and in harmony and alignment, it makes it much stronger than two individual people who do not have alignment. When energy is focused, it can override other factors and take on a life of its own. If the energies are coalesced for the area of peace, for the area of inclusiveness for the benefit of healing, it can form a basis for the manifest world to bring forth fruition in the area of the energy. Energy which is formed, which is detrimental, can lead to destructive energy. We see that the energy of your group, our group really, is positive and is working to bring peace and sanctity and rationality and sanity into the world, and we are pleased to be a part of it.
Okay.
I'm
supposed to ask you a question, right?
Yes.
Do you know, in Atlantis, according to the Edgar Cayce reading, there was a group or a subset of people called the Sons of God. And then there was another group that was the Sons the Belial group, right? And I always thought the Sons of God are the Children of the Law of One, actually, it was called. I'm sorry, it's called the Children of the Law of One and the Sons of Belial. And I often thought the Children of the Law of One were probably under the auspices of the Ra group. And can you talk about the Children of the Law of One in Atlantis?
Give us a moment. The Children of the Law of One in Atlantis were not totally undistorted. They did have distortions, but they had less distortions than the Sons of Belial. The Sons of Belial were more materialistic and were using the aspects of the third dimension for their own purposes of energy production and their own purposes of withholding life-giving processes that they know about and requesting money for the use of those. They were an overpowering energy that has detrimental effect upon the society.
Were they similar to the negative groups today that we call the elite or the secret occult societies that are trying to manipulate the world? Was there a parallel?
They were similar. They had secrets. Worship of procedures used to give energy based upon theory of energy. And it was one of the things that brought down Atlantis, the misuse of energy.
So what was it, were the sons of Belial related to the Baal, Baal, B-A-A-L, that's referred to in the Old Testament?
Yes, it is still a factor. There is still Baal to this day who rallies people around and lends his energy to groups that or individuals that are seeking profit or advancement and are not completely ethical about how they go about it.
So it's okay to seek profit and advancement as long as one is ethical and as long as one is operating in the highest good of all concern. Yes?
You say it is all right to seek advancement?
It's all right to seek profit and advancement in this realm. It's not that that
yes.
is wrong. Okay?
Right.
It's just that how one goes about that seeking and how one conducts themselves, right?
When one is unethical, they are stealing energy, and energy is the juice that makes things go round. And when there is missing energy, then the others that are supplying the energy have to work extremely hard to make up for the loss and leakage of energy. So thievery and theft and pulling unethical tricks to take from others. It's very detrimental.
Now, if somebody has a background in their past track of being involved in this kind of activity for a long time of their track, and they're coming to our group. There's probably people in our group that have that, and they have overwhelming obstacles and temptations to go back to the previous way of existing in this realm. What would you tell a person like that?
There are a couple of factors. One of them is their past record and what they are used to and how they are used to interfacing. The other thing is that these energies, when you connect to the people around you that have similar energies, lock you in to something you may wish to get out of, but consider that it's no longer possible to get out of that energy because it has hooks on it, because it has involvement of the knowledge that if you step out of that sphere, that everything will become crashing down upon you because you have too many secrets, and that you would not be allowed to step out without your secrets being broadcast and your life being ruined.
Say, for example, like when somebody is in one of those groups, they attempt to have you do things that you would never want anyone else to know. And then they use that against you to keep you loyal.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And one may step into this without knowledge of the full ramifications of what mm-hmm. they're doing.
Mm-hmm. So we have created a group. A group has created itself, actually, around our work, of people that seem to have an understanding of what's going on. And we want to do more. I want to do more. I know I'm positioned to do more. And for the other people in our group that are listening now, or listening to the replay, or listening on the internet, because just by showing up, people that are showing up over and over again have realized there's an energy surrounding this work. And by just coming back and participating, you end up being in that energy and starting to understand it. What can people do who are part of our group and see the negativity that's going on our planet? What can we do more than we're doing now?
Build a parallel structure. Let the other structure go. Build a parallel structure of strength, of honor, of ethics. And people will come and join. And you will get stronger and stronger. And by not attacking the other structure, the negative structure,
mm-hmm.
you will survive better. You will be able to build better. Your energy will move into the positive and into the strength and into the building of a new paradigm, and the other will weaken as it is not enforced, and it is not perpetuated.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in the past months, I went out on a limb, which I had a lot of resistance to doing, because I knew it would upset certain people. And we're talking about the election and my own feelings of how important it was not to support a given person, even though there was an illusion that they were happy and loving and had the common interest of our country at heart. I did not see that to be true. And did I make a mistake in doing that? Could you comment on that action that I did?
Mm-hmm. You have free will, and you need to pursue as you see fit and to correct yourself as you see fit and we see as one particular path that is there to be taken, and we do not fault you for this one. Say it was wrong, but you also were pursuing something that you felt and feel would be life-giving for the majority.
Thank you. So in this case, as long as I do something like that with the highest intent, without polarizing with what I am thinking is not good for the highest good, my feeling was, it was important to create discernment for people about ways that they were potentially misled by the media, which we know does that. So thank you for that clarification. And you know what? Our time is up. Thank you so much for what you offered. Do you have any closing words on this?